Listen. Hello? We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
You play to win the game.
Next fan up.
I want winners.
Featuring Pod Vader and the Superfans.
They are who we thought they were.
Oh, if you want winners, then this is the show you should be listening to, because we've got a winner of a show. Almost in honor of International Podcast Day, which was on Wednesday, September 30th, we are presenting our own international flavor for Next Fan Up. It's the all-Australian podcast. I'm sorry. It's the all-English podcast here with Pod Vader. That is me. I am joined today by our man, English Simon, our Cincinnati Bengals superfan. How's it going, Simon?
It's going great, Jay. Thanks for getting me on for this special edition. And as you pointed out, the Bengals are doing really well. So hopefully I can deliver a winning performance like Andy Dalton style.
There you go. And we also have Dan from across the pond. He's our Buccaneers super fan. Dan, what's happening?
I am not doing as well as Simon, but hey, we could still get ourselves in the race.
Neil is our other English super fan. He unfortunately couldn't join us today. He's on holiday, as you guys like to say over there. So hopefully he's enjoying his holiday. I did replace him, though, with Sam, who's our Giants super fan. Sam, you're not British. So how did you end up getting on the show?
I did go to England last year during the summer, so that counts, maybe.
Basically English. He's basically English. It's fine.
Yep. There you go. There you go. You can tweet us at NFU Podcast. Send us an email to nextfanup@gmail.com. Check us out on Facebook. That's where you'll see all of our super fans who have written up previews for week number 4 in the NFL. We've got super fan battles for you, and we're going to start with the Thursday super fan battle, that being the Ravens at the Steelers. Here we go.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another super battle. This super battle is between our Ravens super fan Rex. How you doing, Rex?
Could be better. Mark, how are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good, buddy. It's coming. Trust me. The corner is there. I feel much better after my first win. I thought it would never come. You guys are going to get there. This has been a rough run for you guys to start off. This week, you have a short week, and you're playing the Steelers. If there's any silver lining to that dark cloud, it is the fact that Roethlisberger will not be playing. We don't want to see players get hurt. But this does, I think, you know, give the Ravens a strong chance to win this game. Our super fan for the Steelers is Greg. How you doing, buddy?
Doing great, Mark. How you doing?
Doing good, man. So, yeah, let's start off just talking about this game. I'm going to kick it over to Rex to begin. How are you feeling going into this? Do you think you have a good chance? How's it going to go?
Oh, First of all, I hate Thursday night games. Can't stand them. I like it when my Ravens play on 1 o'clock on Sundays. Unfortunately, only 8 out of our 16 games is that going to happen. So, how do I feel about the Steelers? Well, I feel about as confident playing them as I was playing the Bengals, and we see how that turned out. The Ravens obviously are 0-3 right now. Unfortunately, they could just as well be 3-0. I don't know. You know, I know a lot of teams could say that, but the fact of the matter is, in all three games, the Ravens had the lead with less than 4 minutes to go in each of the three games, and the defense simply can't get stops anymore. I don't know if it's a lack of leadership or just a plain lack of talent. I am utterly shocked at how bad this secondary is playing the last two games. And you're right. I mean, we're fortunate that we don't have to face Roethlisberger, because he'd pass for about 500 yards. Michael Vick is a big unknown right now. I mean, what's he going to come out? I haven't seen Michael Vick play in about 4 years.
How did he look? I saw a couple of the clips, but I mean, it was obviously a small portion of throws. What did you think watching him in this past game?
Vick, he looked rusty. He looked like he didn't really know what he was doing. That's a major area of concern, of course. The only good thing I'll say about Vick is that myself and plenty of other people have left him for dead several times in the league. And it just seems like you never know what you're going to get with him. You can get an 8-game stretch where he's an MVP, or you can have a 8-game stretch where he's backing up Geno Smith. So
how will the rest of everything go? Will Bell be able to carry it? Will the defense hold up? So, like, yeah, how are you feeling about the game, the team in general, without Roethlisberger?
Without Roethlisberger, I mean, it all comes down to how Vic plays. I mean, I think Bell's going to be fine. I think he's going to get his fantasy numbers. I think he's going to be productive. But is that enough? If Vic can't hit Brown, I mean, Brown will get open. But if he can't hit him, it's not going to do us very much good. And I don't know how Rex feels about Doomerville anymore, but Doomerville, even more than Suggs in recent years, has been a terror. And yeah, our offensive line is much improved over previous seasons, but Marcus Gilbert at the right tackle spot cannot block Doomerville. And so I'm just, and that's Vic's blind side. I am just terrified that he's going to dominate the game and it's going to, you know, just be defensive touchdown after defensive touchdown. So.
Unfortunately for my Ravens, I think Doomerville is such a terror because Suggs was drawing attention on the other side. I mean, now you're going to be able to chip him with a Doomerville with a running back or even line up a tight end on that side because Courtney Upshaw provides nothing on the other side. I'm so disappointed in that pick. He has been nothing but a straight run stopper. When Suggs got injured, like I said in my wrap-up on the game, I said, now is the time for Courtney Upshaw to make a lot of money. And what did he do? Drops an interception last week and hasn't really made a single play. I'm not sure how much running room Le'Veon Bell's going to get. I think that he will get plenty of catches because Brandon Williams at nose tackle is really playing like a man right now. He had two tackles for losses. He's almost unblockable. You have to double team him. I think he is absolutely one of the best interior defensive linemen in the game right now.
Rex, do you have any questions for Greg about the team or anything you're interested in and how this game is going to go?
Yeah, I'm interested in Darius Heyward-Bey. I see that he's put up some decent numbers. I'm sure that once Martavis Bryant is back that – we won't hear much from Bay, but is he just running nines and post patterns, or is he actually running the route tree?
He's definitely not running the route tree. He is running mostly nines and mostly, I guess, post patterns too. But that's about it. I mean, he is what he's always been. So he has benefited from the other receivers giving him good coverage. If he could keep both feet in bounds in the end zone, I'd be very happy. But.
And vice versa. Greg, do you have any questions for Rex about his team? Anything you're interested about how they may approach this game?
Well, I know we can't stop Steve Smith, but what else should we be watching out for the Ravens to do on offense to really give the Steelers defense fits?
Well, I think they're absolutely going to make a very concerted effort to run the ball this week because after two games of hardly running the ball at all, John Harbaugh is not going to stand for this much longer. He is a run-first coach, and Mark Trestman came in here talking that I'm not going to change the offense, and I don't know. It seems like he's starting to do what he did with the Bears, which was pass. Or is it the fact that we have to because we just haven't had any running lanes? Mark Eugene Monroe, our left tackle that left the game first game he is supposed to play this weekend. So, well, this Thursday. So we'll see how much that is. Cause one of the things is that James Hurst playing left tackle hasn't really been holding up. Now, as far as Steve Smith, the guy is absolutely a man the last two games, but let's not forget the guy's 36 years old. There's no way he's going to be able to keep this up. He was throwing up and had to get IVs on, in the second half last game. But it really is a true joy to watch him play. He plays with such heart and just out-and-out anger.
So final outcome, Rex, what do you think? What's the final score going to be? Are you guys going to come out on top? Is this the week you get your first win? How's it going to go?
I think it's going to be a low-scoring game, and I pick the Ravens to win 17-14. If the Ravens lose, I will be rooting for the Ravens to lose the rest of their games.
Is there a player you already have your eye on if that was possible and you could get a high draft pick? Who are you looking at?
No, I haven't looked at any of that yet. I will say, and people may laugh, is that if the Ravens can win this game, the schedule really is so backloaded for the Ravens, 5 home games in the last 8 games, and some of the teams aren't that strong. The Ravens could, if they could sew up their pass defense, finish the season 10-6.
I believe it too. I don't think that's impossible at all. I think you guys still, obviously, you have a lot of players in place that have gone very far. I've underestimated the Ravens in the past, and I will not do it again. I think you guys could totally take a run. Greg, what do you think? Final score, how's this game going to go?
Most likely, I think the game's going to be 16-10 Ravens. I just can't see Vic, as uncomfortable as he looked to me last week, pulling it together and leading them to score a lot of points. I think the Ravens' defense is going to look really healthy against the Steelers. And more importantly, I do think they're going to be able to run on the Steelers on offense. So it's going to be one of those classic last possession games, but 16-10.
All right, we have our super battle here. This super battle is between the Simon Bengal Tigers, his Cincinnati Bengals, Simon from across the pond. And then also we have here Nick and his Chiefs. Simon, how you doing real quick?
I'm really good. How are you, Mark?
I'm doing good, man. Thank you so much for being here. And then I'm going to start off just kicking it. Nick, how are you doing?
I've been better, but hopefully there are bright horizons ahead.
Yes, yeah, rough Monday night. Why don't we start with you? You guys are going up against each other. You are two big teams in the AFC. Obviously, the Chiefs had a little bit of a rough go on Monday night, but I didn't think you guys looked horrible by any means, especially that push at the end to try to come back. How are you feeling about everything, Nick, as you go into this game against the 3-0 Bengals?
Well, I think there was plenty horrible in the Monday night game, personally. We're recording this on Tuesday, and I still have the taste of that game in my mouth. The fact is, I think the score was a bit misleading about this game. I mean, the Chiefs were totally decimated in the first half, absolutely dominated. And it, you know, they went into the half, you know, it was down 24-7, and you know, the Packers were basically playing out the clock in the second half. I mean, the Chiefs put some more points on the board, but it was basically garbage time action. The Chiefs, two losses in a row, but you know, the Thursday night game they lost to the Broncos, it was one where, you know, they were close, they tripped over themselves and ended up losing the game. But this one, there were large parts of the first half, not the entire first half, but the Chiefs really didn't look lost. We're making a lot of mistakes. It was a team loss. There are some obvious coaching problems. Alex Smith looked really bad. I mean, he looked better in the second half, but looked bad to start out the game. And the depth of the secondary showed itself to be a bit of a problem. Granted, we've had two back-to-back weeks against Peyton Manning and Aaron Rodgers, guys who are going to find the weak point of your defense. But it was not an encouraging sign for this team as we're starting to get, as you said, into the point of the season where we're starting to figure out the identities of these teams around the league.
Simon, how are you feeling? You're coming off a 3-0 start. Are you as confident as 3-0? You guys are tied with the Patriots at the top of the division, the conference. How are you feeling?
Yeah, I think it's a bit of a pinch of salt because we were 3-0 last year and we had a bit of a fall off when we played New England, in fact, in week five after our bye last year. So I think, yeah, I'm feeling better this year because I feel like we've got more pieces. Pieces to the puzzle this year because our defense is better. Our offense is a little bit more with Marvin Jones, Tyler Wright healthy, and Andy Dalton has definitely taken his game to the next level. And I think, you know, in that sort of where he's been, he's won 40 games in 4 years. If he can get to 12 wins this year, I think we're definitely confident we can win a game in the playoffs. But, you know, we're very conscious that this is just a start and you win nothing in September.
So how are you feeling going into this game, Nick? Do you think you guys have a chance against the Bengals? How do you think the teams match up?
Well, I mean, as long as they can, you know, sort of shake off whatever that weird sleep trance they were in on Monday and come ready to play in this game, I think there's some favorable matchups. I mean, the thing is, I mean, I've actually been very impressed with the Bengals, and so it is going to be a very tough game. But, you know, the Chiefs, even though the Bengals do have some really strong pieces on their offensive line, the Chiefs are going to be able to get some pressure with their front seven. Finally, we have our top cornerback coming back, and so we have a much more solid lineup there. We actually can probably cover most of the top weapons, although, you know, a lot of these guys are really coming to their own, like Simon mentioned. Eifert is going to be a problem. But the Chiefs as well. I mean, I think as long as they can get the running game going, this offense is really going to move and really going to score. I mean, we finally saw some deep passes to Jeremy Maclin. And granted, it was kind of garbage time action, but, you know, Jeremy Maclin did end the day with 141 yards and a touchdown. And so we're finally seeing an actual wide receiver getting, you know, that there is the capability of this offense getting a wide receiver who is very productive. And if they can incorporate some of that stuff into the early parts of the game, not when they're down by multiple scores, then the Chiefs are really going to have the ability to roll. But it is going to be a tough game.
What do you think, Simon, as you go into this game? Are you confident? Are you guys going to pull out a win here? How do you think these two teams match up?
Yeah, I think we're favorites because we're at home, and I think because we've started better in games than KC have, and I think we've got more. I think we pose more problems to them defensively than the teams they faced outside Denver, probably. And I think they've done well to handle and scheme against Houston. They did well in patches against Denver, and I think the offense let them down in Green Bay. I still think we can neutralize a lot of their weapons and offense in terms of we've been very good so far this season, keying in, you know, teams' strengths and basically neutralizing that. And then offensively, we've started really fast. And if KC behind, which they've proved in a couple of games away from home, that we can get after them. So I think I fancy us because we're at home, and I think we're in a better rhythm than KC. It'll be a tough game, but if we can neutralize Jamaal Charles and the pass rush, which I think are their strengths, I think we'll do a good job and we'll win the game.
What are you going to say for final score there, Simon?
I think we'll win by between 7 and 10. You know me, okay. I'm not the type. I'm not a type to hyperbole my team. So I think I just feel like we'll get ahead and we'll keep them at bay. And if Casey plays against Green Bay, I feel like we can match Green Bay's offense prolificity and really take our game to the next level. And I think there's also a big pressure on us to sort of say, we are real, and I don't think that KC are a better team than we are, or at least if they're as good as us, I think the home field advantage will kick in there.
What do you think, Nick? What if you had to guess a score at the end, what are you thinking?
If I hadn't seen the game last night, I think I would have called this as a close Chiefs victory, you know, 21-17. But, you know, going into this one, I kind of agree with Simon that the Bengals are sort of on the roll. So instead, I'm going to attempt a reverse jinx and call the Bengals to win this game 21-17, which, because I'm actually calling it a reverse jinx, it's actually a triple reverse jinx, which makes it, I don't know, maybe that helps the Chiefs win. That's
All right, so those are our two official superfan battles for the week. Normally we do a Sunday night football preview, but I mean, really, who wants to talk about a beat up Cowboys and beat up Saints team? We will talk about that a little bit later on in the show. We just didn't do a special preview battle for it. And actually, Simon, it didn't sound like there was much of a battle at all there with Nick.
Well, no, I think as he pointed out, he was trying to reverse jinx me or triple reverse jinx me instead of making the Bengals, you know, I don't know, play down to the level of competition. But he was like, yeah, pretty much think you're going to win as well. And I think we agreed on the output. I don't think he thinks it'll be as big a deficit as I predicted. I think I said 7 to 10 points. And I think, yeah, it's going to be a good game because, as I said in the battle, they've got some good players who can beat us. And I think we've got to prove that we can win it after a big win.
So just so everybody knows, my official picks are going to be for the Ravens and for the Bengals. And what do you got, Simon, in both those games?
I'm going the Steelers. I don't know why. And I'm going to go Bengals as well, of course.
Dan, what do you got?
I've got the Ravens because I just can't see them going to 0-4. That would be crazy the way Steve Smith's playing. And the Bengals, I think, are going to roll the Chiefs.
And Sam?
I think they got Michael Vick and the Steelers. And then I think the Bengals also.
It's interesting. You guys are believing in Michael Vick. I am not a believer in Michael Vick. That's really the only reason why I'm going with the Ravens in that one, just because I think I don't think Vick is a capable leader of the Steelers, but you never know. So the reason, one of the main reasons why we have our all English podcast is because it's football all day as it's being billed here on the East Coast, starting at 9:30 a.m. East Coast time until 11 o'clock East Coast time. Basically, we've got the NFL on And it starts with the New York Jets at the Miami Dolphins at Wembley Stadium. And by the way, if you haven't heard the podcast I did earlier with Nat Coombs, world famous Nat Coombs, who is anchoring the coverage from Wembley for the BBC this year, you're going to want to check that out. You can download our show on iTunes or look at our archive page. And if it's not there yet, it will be there very soon. We talked about the NFL in England. So you're going to want to check that out. But we're going to talk about this game, Jets versus Dolphins. I'm going to take the Jets here. And our super fan, Ron, who's the Miami Dolphins super fan, he talked up the Miami Dolphins big time this offseason, and they just aren't living up to the hype. What do you say about that, Dan?
They're just completely out of sync, aren't they? They can't. I think there's a lot of faith been lost in Bill Lazor. You know, I know Ron's really unhappy with the way they're just lining up five wide and making Tannehill throw the ball when they've been quite measured with their approach so far. But I think you got to look, defense would be the bit that scares me. I mean, they've got Cameron Wake back there and he's done absolutely nothing. And Brent Grimes is a pretty good cornerback and he's done pretty much nothing. They just got absolutely smoked by the Bills. And that I don't know where they go from there.
Sam, what do you think about what's happening with your fellow New York brothers and the Jets?
The Jets have impressed me. I think that, you know, they have a decent offense for the first time in a couple of years. Besides from a couple of boneheaded plays, Brandon Marshall is being Brandon Marshall when he's new to a team. He's delivering. He's not causing any issues yet. Ryan Fitzpatrick is throwing the ball okay. He made a couple of bad throws this past week. I just think that in Miami hasn't had any pressure in giving Fitzpatrick, you know, time to hit his targets, and I think they'll move the ball pretty easily on the Dolphins team.
Simon, who you got in this one?
I'm going to go for Miami because I think they're a bit more desperate as a team. I also think being in London, getting away from Miami, just a different environment. It's a really, really big following in the UK for Dolphins fans. So I think that's going to give them a boost. And I watched their game last year against Oakland. They were incredible. So I'm using that historical sort of performance to back just about my pick, really. But I can just think they'll get to 2-2. And I don't think the Jets are anything more than an 8-9 team. And I think Miami has more talent and is a bit more desperate.
Interesting. I was going to ask who you thought was the team that was going to get the loudest cheers. And so it's Miami. Miami's got a bigger following.
Yeah, because of the coverage in the 80s when obviously Dan Marino was at the helm and as quarterback. And obviously last year the game was incredible to see so many Dolphins fans there, probably more so than the Miami game itself. But in all seriousness, yeah, one of those sort of legacy teams in the 80s like the Bears as well and the 49ers that kind of have a huge following over here, and I expect it to be quite loud. And it's also really good that the game's on at 2:30 at our time, and it's better for the atmosphere and for obviously for you guys to get to watch it in the morning. It's literally a perfect day for you all.
It's going to be fun, that's for sure. To just wake up, turn football on, and then just have it on until I go to bed. to me, it's a little overkill. I'm actually probably not going to watch that much as my team, the Patriots, are on the bye. Titans also on the bye this week. It's just, you know, I'll have it on in the background. It'll be something that I check in from time to time. But I know I'm sure there's plenty of our super fans that are going to do exactly what I just said. Turn the TV on at 9:30, sit on the couch and watch it until they go to bed. Is that going to be you, Dan?
I don't know if I'm going to be that interested in that game, though. I know it's a divisional game, but Miami are going to be so horrible. And, you know, it's going to be a bit cold compared to what the Dolphins are used to. So they're probably just going to throw a load of picks.
I like it. Sam, who you got in this one?
I'm going to take the Jets. The close one.
All righty. Sam, I know you got to get running, so we're going to take it back to America and the Battle of New York. It's your New York Giants at the Buffalo Bills. The Bills, I mean, Rex Ryan's definitely got that team moving somewhat in the right direction despite a little hiccup against the New England Patriots. The Bills are looking rather strong.
Yeah, I mean, this is not the time I wanted to play them. The best case scenario was before the season that there'd be some sort of QB turmoil by now. For this Bills team, it'd be a good time to play them. But Rex has done a great job with that team and with Tyrod Taylor. Like, they're extremely impressive for the first three games.
And what about the Giants? I mean, one of the questions that we've got going on this week with our super fans is, how do you feel about your coach? I keep asking this about Tom Coughlin. When is the Tom Coughlin era going to end? Is this it? Is this finally the end of Tom Coughlin with the Giants?
I think if they miss the playoffs, he's gone. I think if they somehow make the playoffs, I think he's still going to be there. He's just a very baseline coach. He's never going to be fantastic, but in the playoffs, you know, it's a lot about luck. It's a lot about timing. So in the NFL, I don't really know with him. I would like to see a new coach brought in, but that's just one fan's opinion.
So here comes a useless stat for you. Eli Manning has started 170 consecutive games. It's the longest active streak in the NFL. Last week, he earned his 100th career win as a starter. That includes the playoffs. He's won both of his starts versus Buffalo with 6 touchdowns and 1 pick, a 94 rating in his past 4 versus the AFC. All of that said, I really like Buffalo. And I'm going to take Buffalo to win this game. I like the fact that Buffalo's in Buffalo, and I do think Rex has got this team going in the right direction. And the Giants, to me, the Giants are a classic 8-8 team. Sam, I'm sure you probably disagree, but that's sort of that's my feeling on the Giants right now.
Yeah, I think best case scenario, we go 10-6. We're getting healthier. We get 4 players back this week. Flowers, Cruz, Ayers, and who's the last? I'm missing one guy off the top of my head. We're looking to get, looking to get healthier and get on track and win some games here. The NFC East is a mess, so, you know, falling 2 games or a game and a half behind at this point isn't catastrophic as it would be in previous years. So I think there's a chance we make the playoffs. Although what I do want to say for Buffalo fans and for any fans of Daily Fantasy League, I love the Tyrod Taylor, Percy Harvin, Carlos Williams stack this week. They're gonna have a day with these Giants defense.
Tyrod Taylor is definitely opening some eyeballs. How about you, Simon?
Well, I don't want to sort of give any edge to my fellow fantasy friends, but I put a little waiver claim in for Tyrod Taylor this week because my quarterback situation is an absolute nightmare. But that said, I think the thing about Tyrod Taylor has been mechanically and decision-wise, yeah, he's been fantastic. You know, he's making great decisions under pressure, one of the best quarterbacks under pressure. And I think he's just facilitating the team and not trying to do too much. To look at the passing yards he's had in the game, all under 300 every time. He's used his legs when he needs to. I think he's made some good decisions, and he's kind of a perfect quarterback for the system that they're going to run there. So I've been really impressed with him. But I've also been impressed with Eli Manning, to be honest. And I think I'm literally going back and forth in my mind about this pick, but They're both playing really well, and I think it's going to be a closer game than people might imagine.
Dan, who you got in this one?
I really want to pick Buffalo, but something's bringing me back to the Giants, and I'm not sure if Victor Cruz is back, and I've just got visions of him doing the seltzer in the end zone. But give me the Giants. Give me the Giants.
Simon, how about you?
Oh, Dan, you've done me. Dan's done me there. I'm not sure now. I might go. I'm going to stick with Buffalo.
And Sam, you get the last word.
I got the Giants. I think if we go 2-2, I think this is when Giants fans get optimistic, only to do something horrendous next week.
All right. Well, Sam, thanks for joining us. It sounds like the city is bustling and calling for you to leave us.
All right. Thanks, guys. That's great.
All right. Have a good one,
see
Sam.
You,
all right. So we're back to our all English or all Australian podcast, whichever you prefer. I just want to note Number Fire has the likelihood of Buffalo covering the 5.5 at only 43.7%. By the way, the lines this week are crazy for Las Vegas, because I can't make a pick on the line for anything, but I'm taking the Bills to win this game. We're going to backpedal now to one of the games. If you haven't figured this out, we follow the pigskin pick'em order on ESPN.com, and the Texans and Falcons are next. By the way, if you want to play along with us, just go to ESPN.com/fantasy, go to the pigskin pick'em game, type in next fan up as your group. Our current leader used to be English Simon, but this week got overtaken by Andrew, our New York Jets super fan. He got 14, as did Tim, our Falcons super fan. I wonder if they were cheating off of each other. Simon, what happened?
I got cocky. I didn't back the Bengals, which is always a cardinal sin. I backed Washington. I backed Cleveland. I backed Tennessee. I maintain was a clever thinking. I backed St. Louis, Miami. Oh, this is. I think someone's done me here. My picks don't look quite right. it's fallen apart. It's fallen apart. Pod. The success got to my head. That's all I can say.
I got 13 right last week, so I'm feeling much better after I felt the shame of week two. What was the average last week? I didn't notice. I didn't take a look.
12.
Let's see if 12. I can get that. 12 was the average? 12. Still above average. Yeah. Just barely, but still above average, and I'll take it. So here we are with the Houston Texans at the Atlanta Falcons now. Just so everyone knows, the Little Texans last week dominated the Little Lions. I was very proud of the team. It was our first blowout victory. It was 26-6, I believe. We even had to put in the mercy rules where I couldn't call runs or blitzes, and I think I called a run twice during that time. The ref came and looked at me. I'm just trying to get the kids who weren't touching the ball a chance to touch the ball. But the Little Texans blowing out the Little Lions. I was very happy. This week, the real Texans are going to my boyfriend's, the Atlanta Falcons' house. And I had higher hopes for the Texans, but I've got higher hopes for the Falcons, and I'm taking the Falcons here. Simon, what do you say?
Yeah, give me the Falcons too. They're just Matt Ryan's far better than Ryan Mallett, and they're just a better team. Great analysis there from me.
Fantastic. Dan, did either of our super fans write up a preview on this one yet?
We got the Texans preview, which basically centers around how well Alfred Blue did last week, which I know because he ran all over my books. But he's really scared about the Falcons on offense, obviously because of Julio Jones, and he just is completely unstoppable at the moment. He didn't actually give a prediction though. But he seems to like what the Texans are piecing together down there.
Well, let's see. The Falcons are the first team in NFL history to start 3-0 after trailing in the fourth quarter in each game. How's that for a useless stat? If the Falcons are trailing in the fourth quarter against the Texans, I'd be a little worried. The Texans are a team that tend to get behind and then make a late push only to come up short. That's one of the reasons why I'm going to stick here with the Falcons. Moving right along to our next game up, and that is the Raiders and the Bears. And I know Monty had a few things to say to me about the Oakland Raiders. Listen, you know, the last week was one of those weeks where I said, I don't believe. This week I'm saying, all right, Raiders, you stepped up. I'm starting to buy it. The Bears, I think, are still going to be without Jay Cutler, and that's obviously going to be a big loss for them. And I'm going to take the Raiders here at Soldier Field. Dan, what do you say?
I'm going to take the Raiders as well because the Bears just shouldn't be playing NFL football right now. They're garbage. But I tell you what, Amari Cooper, that guy, you know, there's the whole debate about him and Kevin White, and look where Kevin White is. He's on IR, I think, and Amari Cooper's just tearing it up. So I bet Derek Carr's happy with his new toys.
I think so. Simon, what do you think about this game?
Yeah, there's an interesting subplot, isn't there, where after Jack Del Rio was was defensive coordinator last year in Denver with Foxy. And obviously he goes up against him and Adam Case. So interested to see how it depends. I mean, I understand obviously Jay Cutler is still going to be out. And Jimmy Clausen, I don't think inspired anybody that he could win a game with that supporting cast. But we'll see. I mean, at home it's different, but still, you've got to fancy the Raiders to win this one.
I'm sorry. I think you do. That's quite all right. Let's see what Number Fire has to say on this game. Right now on the money line, they've got it as a 50.9% likelihood that Oakland will cover the 2.5-point spread. So that's a slight edge to Oakland. But again, you're talking about a young team on the road. Those are the most unpredictable kinds of teams, which is another reason why I hate that line. If this was a week, listen, all of you who have a gambling problem, this is the week that you want to call in to your sponsor and be like, yes, I have a gambling problem, because this is not the week you want to put your house on the line, because you're going to lose it. And this is one of the reasons why you're going to end up losing it, especially if you followed my advice. The Jaguars are on the road to Indianapolis, and I'm just going to call it right here, right now. This is an upset special.
We couldn't do diddly poo.
Well, thanks, Jim Mora. But this is the thing. What I saw from the Jaguars last week was a team that's not quite ready to participate at the upper tier level of the NFL. But the other thing I saw from Jacksonville was a team that never quit, that keeps it going, and the system that Gus Bradley is building down there, the culture that he's building, is a good one. This is a divisional game playing against the team that is supposed to be the perennial favorite for the Super Bowl that's reeling right now. The Colts don't seem to have their act together. The Jaguars, to me, do, and that's why I like the Jaguars to pull off a big-time upset in this spot. What do you think about that, English Simon?
Ooh, wow. I mean, you make a lot of interesting points. You make a lot of wrong points, but you make a lot of interesting ones. I think you get a sense that the Colts are riding a bit of an emotional sort of wave at the moment. You've got to fancy them to make some big plays and to get ahead and make it hard for Jacksonville to come back. I'm still really not sure about Blake Bortles, though. I still think you make too many bad decisions that'll hurt your team in the long run, and that's why I take the Colts.
Simon's going with the Colts. Dan, what do you think?
I wanted to lean towards the Jags on this one, a bit like you, but I think the Colts are going to put up too many points, and I still, you know, you look at the receivers that the Jaguars have got, you know, you're relying on Alan Hearns and, you know, people like Denard Robinson. That being said, I do love TJ Yeldon. If they can control time of possession, I think they're going to have a good chance in this one, but I still think the Colts are going to pull it off. One thing I wanted to ask you guys, this Pagano news that, you know, he doesn't see himself coaching there in 2016. I wonder if they use that just to motivate his team and to get the players to sort of rally around him and fight for the coach. What do you guys think?
If he is, I don't know how well that's going to work for him. I mean, I know that they did the whole Chuck Strong for him as he was fighting through the cancer. They rallied around him that way. I think it's a trick that you can pull out of your book when it's real, when it's fabricated. I'm not so sure if that's the case. I will say in the Colts' favor that Luck is 5-1 versus the Jags. And he's passed for quite a few yards with 10 touchdowns and only 3 picks against them. So Andrew Luck is pretty good against the Jaguars. But then again, everybody's been pretty good against the Jaguars. And Gus Bradley is 0-4 versus the Colts. We'll see. I like the Jags in this spot. It'll be a big upset. Simon, what do you think about the Chuck Pagano news?
Yeah, I think because he knew that he was coming to the season without a new contract, and obviously Irsay said that he was not going to get a new deal. And so I think if you've got that uncertainty, you have to use it some way in a positive way. You can't let it hang over the team and not be concerned about it. So I think that's the best way to handle it, to sort of say it's us against the world. He's definitely a player's coach. Obviously, they have that bond that's probably deeper than sort of normal player-coach relationships because of what happened in the past. But I just think it comes down to a lot of things, really. Who's the better coach? Who's at home? And who has a better quarterback? And I think in those two of those three, you definitely think that the Colts are favorites there, and that's why I picked them.
Next game up is our co-host, Mark Sitko. He hosts the Sunday night games, the Monday tradition, the recap version of Next Fan Up. His team is going up against the Washington Redskins, the team that he is secretly the super fan of as well, because we don't know who this Drew person is. He doesn't seem to show up when we need him to, hasn't written anything. So I believe Mark is covering for this Drew character. I'm curious if Mark has written up anything yet, Dan, on this game.
He has. He's really pleased to finally get a weak opponent, and he's kind of beating his chest a little bit and saying that the offense is going to light it up finally, and he's going to get Cousins on the ground, and his pathetic dumpster fire of a team. It will be glorious. So he's really pumped up for this one.
Simon, the thing about the Eagles isn't so much that they can't do it. I mean, they have done it. Chip Kelly's 3-1 against the Redskins. The thing is there's so many new parts on this team. They don't seem to be communicating very well.
Yeah, it's a tough one because I think when you play at the pace that they play at, and I think being completely sure of the system and confident in the guys around you has to be a big part of the success there. So once they get more comfortable and Bradford gets some game time under him, I think there's no doubt they'll get better. But I still think they're playing a team in Washington who are better than people think they are. And I think, you know, they made some bad mistakes against the Giants last week, but there's things there that you like about the team that can enable them to sort of do well. And I think if they can control their line of scrimmage offensively, I think they can definitely have some success despite how well the Eagles have been against the run. I think it'd be interesting to see if they can get ahead and try and thwart them and send some pressure at Bradford. But it's going to be a close game, this, I think. And I think I'm going to go Washington is my pick.
Ooh, interesting.
Really? Yeah. I don't know why. I think it's
still my thunder. I was going to go with the upset special.
Sorry. Is it an upset?
That's got to be upset.
That's an upset. Right there. I'm gonna give you this drop for that though.
We've got to be the dumbest team in America in terms of playing the game.
Because the Redskins are just not good. They're just not. I don't believe the Eagles are gonna light it up. As I mentioned, it seems to be a communication issue on offense that seems to be halting that offense. But I don't see the Eagles struggling here against the Redskins in terms of losing the game.
This is the game where you're going to see Mark Sanchez enter. I've got a feeling.
Wow. Mm.
Interesting. The damn theorem.
Been awful. I know it's based on nothing but sort of, you know, guts and stupidity, but I think Mark Sanchez is going to come in and I think he's going to throw a pick six and everyone's going to think there's going to be a really bad quarterback controversy going through this whole season and they're going to be no better than when they had Nick Foles there. They're going to regret that decision.
Well, I'm changing my mind. Already regretting it.
I'm changing my mind. I'm going back to the Eagles. Dan's talked me into swapping my pick because I think Chip Kelly's just going to go, you know what, Dan? Bradford's my guy. And he made some nice throws against the Jets. So, yeah, I'm changing my pick. I'm going to go with the Eagles. This is awful. Played havoc.
The 3-0 Panthers are at the 1-2 Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Dan. And, I mean, so far from the Bucs, it just seems like it's the same old, same old. Or am I wrong?
You're not wrong. I think we're starting really, really slowly to turn a corner. But, I mean, against the Panthers, they're, you know, the strong point of their team is that front seven and the run D. We cannot run the ball for love nor money. It's horrible to watch, really. I mean, Doug Martin, he just sort of runs to the line of scrimmage and then realizes, nope, I'm getting nothing out of this. So we're going to have to rely on Winston. And I have to admit, I've been pretty impressed with Winston, because even against the Texans, and he was historically bad on third down. I think he completed 8% of his third down passes. He kept on throwing the ball. He kept on putting it up there, and he found his targets. You know, he started to get a connection with Lewis Murphy. I don't know what Lovie's doing on defense. I don't even want to talk about it. It's just I'll end up in a mental asylum if I carry on talking about him. It's going to be closer than people think, but it's going to be typical Lovie, you know, terrible ball control, you know, turn it over, and then next week he's going to say, oh, but we're getting better, and we're the new Buccaneers. No, you're not. Go back to Chicago.
I will tell you that Doug Martin has 99-plus scrimmage yards in 3 of his 4 career meetings against the Panthers. So perhaps this is the game where Doug Martin gets it going.
No. It's going to be Charles. No, I'm a Bucs fan, and I'm not even buying into that. Those are phony stats. They don't add up.
Well, here's some more phony stats for you, because it does appear that if there is a team the Panthers get up for, it is the Buccaneers. Newton has won 4 of 6 starts versus Tampa Bay, completing 64.6% of his passes, 10 touchdowns, 4 picks. He's got a 102.9 rating in those games. He's also rushed for 281 yards and 6 touchdowns in those 6 games versus Tampa Bay. Jonathan Stewart has 3 100-yard rushing games versus Tampa Bay, has 7 total touchdowns versus the team. Greg Olsen had 10 catches for 110 yards in their last meeting. This has the workings of a blowout. You said that it was going to be closer than people might think. Do you mean it's going to be 51-20 instead of 51-10?
No, I genuinely think it'll be a 1 or 2 score game, because Lovie loves giving up yards to the opposition. But in fairness, we don't give up that many touchdowns unless it's apparently Marcus Mariota.
Simon, what are your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, I've got to back my fellow Brit here now and say, yeah, Carolina are just a far better team across the board. I think it'll be closer in the first half. I think I've got a feeling this Bucs team that they'll stumble early season and then make some progress towards the back end when Jameis gets a bit more comfortable and the defense maybe settles in a bit more. But yeah, the Panthers are just too strong and I think too efficient to lose to Tampa.
So we now move into the 4 o'clock games, or the later games, depending on which time zone you're in. And we start with the Browns at the Chargers. I mean, I don't know. I still think this should be Johnny Manziel's team. Maybe one game isn't enough to say that, but I said it before the game anyway, and I still believe it. And I don't know if the reports coming out of Cleveland that players want Manziel to be the starter are true or not, but to me, it just seems like Johnny Manziel should be the quarterback of the Cleveland Browns right now. What do you think, Simon?
I'm not a fan of Manziel 1 iota, and I think the Chargers, the way their defense is, would eat him alive, because I think they're quite an aggressive team and it'd be very hard for him to get away with sort of the slippery plays that he does. Conversely, McCown is just not a very good quarterback, so why not just go all in on your first round pick from last year and hope that he gives you a spark? But still, they won't have enough good quarterback play to make any noise in a sort of playoff mix this year. So I think San Diego will win this game because they're desperate. They lost 2 in a row. Philip Rivers is a better quarterback than he's proved so far this season, in my opinion. And I just feel like, yeah, Cleveland just is not a good football team right now.
Dan, I'm sure our super fan Rob had something to say here about Johnny Manziel, or has he written anything yet?
He has not. Mm. He's let us down, you know, rain down with shame.
Feel shame. Although the shame this week shouldn't be felt too badly, because I did record a little bit earlier and a little off schedule because of some family reasons. But basically, I'm trying to look for some useless stat here to sort of back any of this up, and I've got nothing. The one thing I will say, though, is Number Fire does not like the 7.5 points for San Diego. They say the likelihood of them covering is only 35.8%. And I am picking Cleveland to win this game outright. No, I'm not. I'm picking the Chargers. No, I'm not. I'm picking the Chargers to win this game outright. But Number Fire has made me change my pick in my pick'em pool, which we do use a spread. I'm going to take the Browns to cover the 7.5. What do you say, Simon?
Yeah, give me the Chargers.
And Dan?
I actually see a repeat of 2012, and I see the Browns winning.
2012?
Wow.
The Browns won the last meeting with the Chargers 7-6. That is the only... I have absolutely nothing to go on for this game. So
Johnny Manziel was in high school probably then. Come on.
Let's see here. 2012. That was 4 years ago. It ish. Could be close.
3 years.
Let's go to the next game now. 7-6. Boy, that was a great one. We've got the Broncos hosting the Minnesota Vikings. I know our Minnesota Vikings superfan had a lot to say to me last week. And listen, I hear you. I need to start buying a little bit more into the Vikings. That said, you're going a mile high. I know Denver doesn't seem to have their act together either. I'm just saying, I don't think you got a shot in this one. Dan, what does our superfan have to say?
Davey is pretty confident, and he actually doesn't think the Broncos are everything they're made out to be. But he still thinks that Denver are going to come away with the win. He really wants to get Xavier Rhodes back from concussion. He's been really, really confident. I don't think he was coming into the season, but he started to talk a whole lot more in our little group. So he must believe in Teddy.
Simon, what do you think of the Minnesota Vikings right now?
Well, yeah, given a couple of reasons. Obviously, Mike Zimmer is the head coach, former Bengals defensive coordinator, and just a few things. I really like Teddy Bridgewater. I think he's going to be an incredible quarterback. I think they'll will play them hard and play them close. Teddy's great under pressure, and the Denver D have been absolutely dialing that up. Peyton's looking good. You know, I think he ended the game against the Chiefs really strongly. He was, you know, on point for most of the game against the Lions, and I think they can feel good about that sort of passing game. I think the rushing game is something that I'm concerned about, mainly for fantasy reasons. But no, in all seriousness, they're struggling to get something really going. And Mike Zimmer's teams have always been good against the run, so I think they can keep it interesting, keep the score down. They've got a chance to sneak it, and I think it'll be a one score game. I think the Broncos will probably win, given I think Mile High is a bit of a different type of atmosphere for this quite young Vikings team. So, but watch this one to be quite a close game, hopefully. And I've got high hopes of the Vikings, maybe not this season after, to be a really good team.
Yeah, Number Fire says the likelihood Denver will cover 6.5 is 47.5%. So that's they clearly don't like the line there for Denver. I'm still taking Denver. Will they cover? I'll go with Number Fire and say they won't cover. But I do like Denver. I saw a nice useless stat here. Oh, Peyton Manning has a 3-0 record versus Minnesota. He's completed 69% of his passes for 862 yards, 9 touchdowns, 3 picks versus the Vikings. I'm going to take Peyton Manning and the Denver Broncos to win at Mile High. We've got the Packers against the hapless San Francisco 49ers. Although the Niners are 1-2, they are looking more and more dreadful by the week. Do we have a 49er write-up this week, Dan?
Not yet, unfortunately, but I don't think there's any point in putting one up because they're going to get crushed by the Packers.
Whoa. The 49ers have got a fellow Australian in the team. We should let's talk about the Hayne plane. Jared Hayne, you know, You could take him to the woodshed. Let's not be too deflammatory. But yeah, in terms of you look at the way these teams are played, there's no way that the Packers won't win, you're thinking. But I mean, San Fran's up because they played basically the same offense 2 weeks in a row and clearly couldn't handle it. And Green Bay, a bit more West Coast, maybe a bit more methodical. But still, yeah, Kaepernick is just a terrible quarterback.
Yeah, I said I was going to use number fire until it let me down. This is the week number fire is going to let me down. I mean, it's telling me that Green Bay's likelihood of covering 9 is only 35.7%. Number fire, that's the game. If you fail me on this game, I am not going to use you in previous weeks, in any more weeks coming up. I'm going to take the Packers. I feel they're going to cover this handily. I don't even know why we spent this much time talking about the Packers 49ers, because this is a done deal. I do not have them as my lock, though, because my lock, ladies and gentlemen, is in this game.
I want winners. I want people that want to win.
And that team is the Arizona Cardinals, who are right now, to me, the odds-on favorite to be the Super Bowl rep in the NFC. They are hosting the St. Louis Rams, and I don't think Jeff Fisher's bunch has a chance. What do you think, Simon?
Well, you obviously know my personal opinions on Carlton Palmer. Carlton Palmer's a football player. Apologies. He's obviously a quitter, and he can never sustain success. So, at the moment, you can't argue that they're not the best team in the NFC West, but the Rams always seem to play that division really tough. So, I think it'll be closer than people think. I think, obviously, being in Arizona gives them a huge edge, but I think it'll be closer than people think.
Dan, what do you got?
I think the Cardinals are going to absolutely blow the doors off the Rams, and I think the Honey Badger was just trying to bait the Rams when he was saying that they're a Super Bowl caliber team. This is a Jeff Fisher-led team, and Jeff Fisher does not know how to coach in the NFL, so Bruce Arians is going to take advantage of that, I think.
I think that's very true. Simon, what do you got on this?
Yeah, give me the Cards.
All right. Not a lot to talk about in that game. We all like the Cardinals. This game, I think, is going to be a little bit more interesting. It's the Sunday night game. It's the Dallas Cowboys, New Orleans Saints. Right now, I'm not 100% sure if Drew Brees is going to play or not. It's one of those things that we got to keep an eye on. We know that Tony Romo and Dez Bryant aren't playing for the Dallas Cowboys, and we saw how the Cowboys did last week against the Falcons. My concern for the Cowboys isn't so much about their offense, but the fact that the defense now has to carry this team through this stretch, which is a majority of their season, and the fact that they let up so many points to the Atlanta Falcons. I'm not saying that the Saints can do the same thing if they don't have Drew Brees, but I am saying it's a little worrisome, and I don't really know where to go on this one. What do you say, Simon?
It's hard to, hard to really predict without knowing about Brees. I can't imagine NBC when they pick this game. We're hoping for Brandon Whedon versus Luke McCown, but as the quarterback battle. But still, I think it'd be interesting because there's not a lot to really... These teams are still quite unique, and is that people don't really know much about them now, given that Romo and Dez are out and Brees might be out. And also, the Saints are kind of transitioning. I'm not sure what's going on with them quite at the moment. And they're 0-3, so they're very desperate. They're always really good on prime time, so it's hard to back against that. And obviously, the Superdome sort of advantage against the Brandon Whedon team, who's played okay. He's not played badly, but still, you think on that Sunday night pressure that he might not be very successful. So for me, at the moment, the Saints are my pick.
Dan, do we have anything from the super fans on this?
Let me have a quick look. I think we do have a Dallas Cowboys write-up. We do. So Brian's saying this is a must-have game for Dallas, and it's only week 4. Dear God. He said, after dropping one at home to Atlanta, the Cowboys take their road-winning streak to New Orleans. I guess he's counting on Brees not playing, but I think he's pretty confident. He wants them to take more chances on offense, though. Because Rob Ryan, He just tries to live off his brother's shadow and fails completely. And he's among one of the worst D coordinators in the game. Is he confident in Whedon? I don't know. He looks pretty worried. Terrence Williams, Devin Street, and Bryce Butler have to get some kind of separation to become a threat. But he still thinks that they win a tight one, 26-24.
That is a tight one. Let's see what Number Fire has to say about Dallas at New Orleans. The likelihood that New Orleans wins a pick'em, they've got the line all the way down to pick'em already, is 51.7%. You know, the Superdome hasn't been the Superdome as of late. You know, the Saints haven't been winning the games that they used to win all the time because it was in New Orleans. Man, this is tough. This really is a pick 'em. Simon, did you make a pick on this?
Yeah, I'm going to go the Saints.
What?
You call me the crazy.
You're going for an 0-3 team without Drew Brees.
I'm sorry, Dan. If you don't think I'm, you know, if I'm against the grain, then so be it. But still, I'm the convictions of my own thoughts is what I'm sticking to. So, yeah, you heard it here first. The Saints are going to win this one.
Hey, that's ballsy. That's, but I don't know if it's.
I'll look forward to your apology. I'll look forward to your apology next week. That's all I'm going to say.
You're not going to be getting an apology. This is Brandon Whedon's come out game.
just listen to yourself, man. You made me feel even better about my pick now. So appreciate that.
This is Terrence Williams, 120 and 2 touchdowns. I'm saying.
Wow.
Yeah, absolutely crazy, mate.
All right. Wow, I don't know which of you guys to go with, but I'm gonna take the Cowboys. I just think, and I'm not taking it because it's gonna be Brandon Whedon's come out party. I think it's gonna be all about the Cowboys defense and the lack of a Saints defense. That's gonna be the difference in this game. That's the way I'm going to go on this one. Our Monday night football game is the Lions and the Seahawks. Currently, there has not been a super fan battle recorded. So if Sitko has one for the Monday tradition, he'll be recording one after we've recorded this already. So we'll talk about it. It's the Lions and the Seahawks. The Seahawks are favored by 9.5. And Number Fire is going to tell us that 9.5 may not even be enough. No, they actually don't like 9.5. They say the likelihood of Seattle covering is only 46.6%. I like the Seahawks. I like them to cover. I don't think the Lions have a chance up in Seattle. Dan?
Well, you've got to take the Seahawks. The Lions just keep on shooting themselves in the foot. It's like they've built people up with hope ever since they went winless, and they keep on just turning around. And then I would hate to be a Lions fan, let's put it that way, because there's a lot of talent on that team. I think Russell Wilson's going to run the ball a lot in this game, though. That's what I see, and I see a comfortable win.
You know, I had seen, Simon, in our Slack conversations with the super fans, someone mentioned that they don't understand why the Lions keep trying to run Joique Bell when they can run it with Ameer Abdullah. And to me, I agree. And not just because I have Abdullah on one of my fantasy teams, because I've got Joique Bell on a couple as well. It's more because Ameer Abdullah just seems to be the more effective running back at this point.
Oh yeah, without question, he's shown so far this season that he has more. Obviously, had a fumble issue in one of the games, which is not good. You don't see that from a young running back. But yeah, Joique Bell physically didn't look the same that he has in the previous years, and he was a decent runner. You know what I mean? Serviceable runner. I think where the team is missing, kind of what they were last year, is that ability to run the ball effectively, but also up front on the defensive line, really pressure the opposing quarterbacks, and that's kind of been missing. And they've lost some close games, but still they've not played with poison. I recall your memories when Jim Caldwell had his second season in Indianapolis, and obviously they lost Peyton Manning to the neck injury, but still he didn't have an effect on the team in the second year, and maybe similarly he's not been able to have the same impact he had in his first year. So I think they're a team that's missing a few key parts, and I think they made some errors in the past couple of drafts that could come out to hurt them. And also, Matthew Stafford hasn't been consistent for a couple of years, in my opinion, in terms of that top level. And I think when you go into Seattle, you've got to be nigh on perfect to win there, especially in prime time. And I think it'll be quite a maybe 2-3-4 score game, in my opinion.
So watching Sunday night, Sunday night in America, football night in America on NBC, and watching Tony Dungy and Rodney Harrison talk about Jim Caldwell and the culture that he's building in the Lions. You know, we talk about them shooting themselves in the foot. They let Nick Fairley go. They let Ndamukong Suh go. Their defense is obviously taking a step back. And it appears that Jim Caldwell is much more, he's put the priority on developing a team that he can, that he feels he can respect. A team that he feels best showcases what's best about football. And it's clear that he's changing the culture of that team, because Ndamukong Suh and Nick Fairley, how do I put this nicely, aren't nice guys.
the thing is, though, Jay, sorry to interrupt your train of thought, but think about NFL. Yeah. It's not a nice guy sport, is it? It's not a nice guy sport. And they're 0-3 because they're not playing with an edge. And so you can build a culture all you want that, you know, is conduit to, you know, friendly game of chess or tiddlywinks. But when it comes to beating the guy opposite, yeah, you need to play with an edge. And they've got some guys in the team that play with an edge, but we're talking about winning those games against good teams, and they've struggled to do that so far because they haven't got an edge over the team mentally, I don't think.
All right, so Russell Wilson, he's 4-0 on Monday Night Football, 9 touchdowns, a 1-2-3 rating. That includes the postseason. Marshawn Lynch, we'll have to wait and see if he's going to play in this game. I don't think it's going to have that big of an effect on the Seahawks offense. I think Fred Jackson will come in, fill in just fine. He's obviously not beast mode, but he's good enough. We also have, well, that's all I need to say. I mean, it's literally it. I've got the Seahawks. I like the Seahawks big in this game. Dan, last word?
There's something about the Detroit Lions that makes me think that Jim Caldwell's going to get fired in the next 2 or 3 weeks. He's too nice. He's too much like Tony Dungy, and I think that's going to be broadcast to the whole nation on Monday night.
All right, so that's our week 4 previews. I know that there's people out there that disagree with what we're saying, so disagree with us. Send us an email. It's nextfanup@gmail.com. You can also tweet at us at NFU Podcast, and you can join in our conversations on Facebook. Just go to facebook.com, type in Next Fan Up, you'll find us. Or if you want the direct link, it's facebook.com/NFU Podcast. All of our super fans are supposed to be writing previews for these games. If they haven't, then that means you can apply for the position. We have an opening for the Seahawks. I would think this would be a year that you'd want to come join us and talk Seahawks football with us. So go ahead and send in those applications to nextfanup@gmail.com. Simon and Dan, I'm so glad that I avoided all the Australian jokes today for this special English edition of the podcast. Thank you for joining me. Do you have any last words? What do you think of you doing anything special this weekend for the game, Simon?
I'm going to watch it, but it coincides with our game against Arsenal, which is, so I'll have it on both screens if that's possible. I'm looking forward to a good game between two, I think, evenly matched teams.
I think the time difference is really nice for us, because we rarely get to see a game, you know, at normal time. You know, the games here start, you know, 6 p.m. and then if you stay up for the late game, it's right into the next day. So it's quite nice to see it and experience it how you would. You know, you've had some lunch and then you sit down and you watch, you know, the Patriots blow someone out. So that'll be nice.
Ah, yes. The Gronk U tour continues. It's on pause this week. They'll be they're Gronking the bye week. We'll see who's Dallas is the next victim up. So I can't wait for that. And obviously we're 2 weeks away from the real gronking, and that's the Indianapolis Colts. And gentlemen, that's going to be one that you're going to want to wake up early and watch, because that's going to be a blowout and a half. That's the one that I've got circled on the calendar.
Yeah, basically, if you've got a fantasy team and you've got Rob Gronkowski, you are a very, very happy man. Unlike me, who last weekend accidentally, I was looking for CJ2K and I was going to put him in for the Cardinals matchup. And I was like, yeah, great. And then I checked it on Monday and I'd actually put David Johnson in my team. I almost cried a little bit.
Speaking of fantasy, I'll be doing a special fantasy blog talk radio fantasy league update with Joel Hennard of the Fantasy Insiders. I beat him last week, and there's one team that's undefeated in that league, and I'll give you three guesses who it is. Simon,
it can't be you. It can't be
it's
you, Jay.
Me. No way. It is me. Undefeated in the blog talk radio fantasy football league. That's right. I am taking down all the experts. Of course, it helps that two of them haven't been setting their lineups. But who cares about that? I mean, that's just a minor point. Overall,
hollow victories.
Overall, I'm going to run through this expert league with abandon, just like my 2015 New England Patriots. All right, enough of us blabbing. Thanks for joining us. And as I always like to say, there you have it.
Well, I think we learned today that, this game is four quarters long.